This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Triple Captain Extra. I'm your host, Luke Jurdy. I'm at Luke Jurdy on social media, and we are at FPL Triple Cap on Twitter and on Instagram. Today, I'm going to be bringing you a bit of a more detailed rundown of Game Week 5. I'm going to review my own Game Week and my own team in a little bit more detail. I'm going to give you all a mini league update. I'm then going to go through key stats from Game Week 5. Just a few things that I've noticed, including a few little differential options, and stats that I think will be quite interesting to note for the coming game weeks. Also going to give my thoughts on wildcarding, how I'm looking at it with my own team. I'm going to answer some Discord questions, and then I'm going to briefly talk through transfer plans and captaincy for game week 6. So kicking off my game week review, my team, Triple Captain Pod, always promoting the pod. I finished on 60 points, as I said, on the main pod. Sanchez and Veltman, I went for double Brighton defence and was watching the United game, of course, against West Ham, keeping an eye on that Brighton-Leicester score. And I thought when they were 2-0 up and it got to 60 minutes, I didn't check my rank because it was kind of 2 minutes later, Vardy scored to end that clean sheet. And I think it was a fair reflection, judging by the highlights and what people said. But unfortunately, Sanchez got a yellow card and Veltman got a yellow card. So only a point apiece from them. Luke Shaw, another blank from him, unfortunately, but his stats are looking good. Attacking wise, so I'm going to keep him for the next two fixtures, as I said on the main pod. Soufal, only a point because, of course, West Ham conceded two against United, which was a shame for my FPL team. Obviously, not a shame for me. I love the fact that we won. Of course, I've not been that excited about a game for a long, long time. Absolute drama at the end, of course. Bemrama, I did shout him and said that I thought that West Ham would score against United, and with Antonio out, why not let it be Bemrama that gets the goal? That was the case. It was a lucky goal, of course, but 10 points for him, which was a nice kind of caveat to United going 1-0 down. Diogo Jota, another blank, unfortunately. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later on when I go through stats. 3 points from him. Salah captain, like most people, with 24. Rafinha with 8. Lucky goal from him as well, but he did look threatening, as always, and deserved his goal. Be waiting for injury news on him. Josh Brownhill got brought in as a sub, and he's also yellow flagged with a dead leg for the next game. So bench, I think my bench will still be okay, but I'll run through that when I talk about next game week. So he came on for Alexander-Arnold, and Raul Jimenez, of course, I've spoke about that on the pod, brought him in for Tony. He only got 2. And Ronaldo with a 6. Antonio bench, I kept him. Alexander-Arnold bench, of course, because he didn't play. And Livramento stuck on my bench with 5 points, which was slightly annoying, but I'd rather have the 10 points from Bemrama, who we thought might not play. Obviously, you know, Southampton heading into a fixture away at Man City, I was never going to put Livramento as first bench. I thought 0 points even for him if City ran riot. But of course, that didn't happen. 60 points, very small red arrow. Overall rank of 633K. But as I said on the pod, the main pod, no need to worry about overall rank just yet. It'll only take one game week to shoot up. And I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. Could be better, but I'm not going to complain too much. And again, it's just very small margins at the moment. If I'd have kept Ivan Tony, I would have got a green arrow and be going into game week 6 with 2 free transfers. But we won't dwell on that. let's move on to mini leagues. So main pod mini league, triple captain fantasy league. Top 10, Roger Booth, last year's winner, doing well again this season. He's in 10th place, the Hotspurs, with 389 points. He's level with 9th place Matt Roque, his team FPL Blinder, and in 8th place Shadow FC, Ole Christian Pettersson. They're all on 389. In 7th place, we've got Adil Ahmed, Wizard of Ozil, 393 points. In 6th place, Hansip FPL, Dedi Ramadi Zufi, huge game week, 93 points. That's massive. 394 total. In 5th place, Heads and Bollies, Martin Phillips. He got 71 this week. He's on a total of 395. Frankie McCarroll dropped down to 4th place, Sham United the 8th, 398 points. He's level on points with 3rd place, Alexandros Stavrinos, Kith Football Club. And in 2nd place, Show Me the Mane, Nathan Harrott. He's gone up to 2nd place this week with 402 points. And in 1st place, Connor McBain, or McBean, I'm not sure how to pronounce that actually. Connor, I think I've been saying McBain, 406 points, making a meal of it. Great work, Connor. He is on our Discord. He's got an overall rank of 5,219, and he is top of the triple captain mini league. Let's move on to the triple captain extra mini league. Loading it up now. We have top five. In 5th place, Roger Booth, the Hotspurs, 389 points. In 4th place, sacked in the morning, Finn Linder Eriksson, unlucky this week with 56. He drops down to 4th, 391. In 3rd place, Love and Rockets, Carl Hellier, 394 points. In 2nd place, Thibaut Marico, one man, one sar. Great game week for him, 76 points. He's on 399. And in 1st place, Show Me the Mane, Nathan Harrott. He's on 402. So well done to you, Nathan. Code to join the Triple Captain and Triple Captain Extra Mini League is in the episode notes. I think Extra Mini League is in the episode notes. And to join our main Mini League is on Twitter. So keep joining, and hopefully you'll get a shout out in the future. So that's the Mini League update. And now I'm going to move on to my key stats and a bit of a watch list from Game Week 5. So first point, Ronaldo, I think, will be a tough sell for us all in game week 7 or 8 if he keeps up his stats, which I think he inevitably will. The question will be, will Lukaku outscore him, and is it better to have both? Ronaldo had 7 shots, all of them in the box, in game week 5. 5 of them were on target. He had 3 big chances and a big XG of 1.76. He also could have had a penalty, and on another day, I think this would have been a hat trick. He was top of all attacking assets in game week 5. Mo Salah is almost as inevitable as Ronaldo is, and he has assist potential. He created 2 chances against Crystal Palace to go with his 6 shots. Mo Salah is, of course, a big hold for now. I had a quick look at Lukaku versus Ronaldo. There's nowhere near enough data to be confident of anything yet. And almost no point me even saying this, as Ronaldo only has 2 games under his belt. But it is Ronaldo. So you'd like to think that he will continue with these stats that he's been consistently getting for, you know, the last however many years of his career. So on the data that we do have so far, Ronaldo does beat Lukaku on every attacking metric. He's had 6.5 shots per game versus Lukaku's 3.75. He's had 6 shots in the box, where Ronaldo primarily operates, versus 3.5, which is where Lukaku primarily operates as well. 1.38 XG per game versus 0.54. Now, Lukaku has had tougher fixtures, and Lukaku has played more games, so this might even out, and it remains to be seen how much of a flat track bully Lukaku is, and the difference between the two is assist potential. Ronaldo has virtually no assist potential, and that goes with his stats kind of in previous years as well, whereas Lukaku has created 2 chances per game, and he's created 0.5 big chances per game. Now, United's attack has changed a lot to suit Ronaldo. He's such a focal point, even more so than Lukaku is, in my opinion. My thoughts are, with the two of them at the moment, is Ronaldo will score more goals and Lukaku will get more assists. Now, how many points will they both finish on? I think it will be close. The easiest decision is, of course, to get both and let the points flow. But anyone dropping Mo Salah, I think, would be genuinely mad right now, which inevitably brings on the threemium debate, which is on everybody's lips. I still haven't made a decision on what I prefer. I've seen teams looking fairly balanced with all three of them, especially with the emergence of midfielders like Gallagher and Gray. But if Antonio continues his incredible form, he will match both Ronaldo and Lukaku, meaning there'd be no real need for both. Now, I don't think Antonio will match them both over the course of a season, but he's so much cheaper. So therefore, we've got more watching to do and more information to collect. There's football changes all the time. For now, I think it's safe to have just the two premiums. My choice is Ronaldo and Salah at the moment. The tricky decision is going to come in game week 7, game week 8, when Lukaku's fixtures turn. San Maximan, he's now 6.7 million after another great performance for Newcastle. Rich has always called him a myth, but I think we can change that mindset now. He was everywhere against Leeds and he now carries a goal threat as well as assist potential. He had 5 shots, 4 on target and created 2 chances against Leeds. Newcastle's fixtures aren't great. They're 14th on the fixture ticker on the Fantasy Football Hub at the moment. Check that out if you haven't already. It's really, really useful for seeing who has good fixtures and it's better than the official FPL kind of green-red system. Newcastle have a good run from game week 11 to 16. I think when Wilson's back, San Maximan could be even better value as Newcastle will then carry more attacking threat as a team. I don't think it's necessarily a case that Wilson will take points off San Maximan, but he'll improve his assist potential. But at the moment, yeah, ASM looks great, but I would wait to bring him in. Rafinha, quick note on him. I'd wait for press conferences, but if you own him like me, don't even think about selling him. He's got goal and assist threat. He's 6.5 million, still great value. 5 shots and 3 chances created against Newcastle, and Leeds have a good fixture run too. Keep an eye on Bielsa's press conference. I've spoken about Saar on the main pod, but he'd be top of my watch list right now because of his next 2 fixtures, Newcastle and Leeds. Well worth bringing him in if you're planning on a game week 8 wild card when he plays Liverpool. Although, you could hold him for Everton, Southampton and Arsenal after Liverpool. Not the best, but not the worst. But just be aware with Saar, there will be blanks. Like there is with anyone, but there won't be a lot to get excited about in some games because it's Watford. I think when they play against those tough teams, we can't forget that he was playing Norwich and between game week 2 and 4, Watford didn't score a goal. But it proves just how talismanic Saar is. He's got 50% goal involvement and a massive 61% expected goal involvement with Watford. So he's like Wilson is for Newcastle, though obviously San Maximan's come into the fore now. If they score, it's likely to be Saar, or he might be getting an assist. So he's top of my watch list. My top 3 mid-priced long-term hold midfielders. I mean, we've been talking about this recently because of the need maybe to switch in and out of premiums. You need mid-priced midfielders that you're happy with holding for a long time. My top 3 at the moment would be Rafinha, Saar and Ferran Torres. Now, with Torres, you just have to accept the odd benching for the potential of huge upside. He's 4th for XG in midfielders below 8 million, and he's 3rd for shots in the box, despite playing a game less. I am interested in Torres, and at the moment, I own Jota. Could be a nice switch for me when City play Burnley in game week 8, I think it is, at home. And we know City at home to Burnley is normally 4 or 5 nil. So I am interested in Torres for that one. And another good point is City looked lost without him against Southampton. He has just played 90 minutes in the League Cup. It'd be really, really interesting this week to see if he plays against Chelsea. I think he will, and I think he's first choice. But as always, you will have to accept the odd benching. Jota owners, including me, count yourselves massively unlucky. He's top for shots in the box out of all midfielders under 8 million. He's top for big chances. He's 3rd for XG and he's created 9 chances and 2 big chances. The fact he's only got 2 goals and no assists is mind-boggling. I'm going to hold him for now. He probably won't play the full game against Brentford if Firmino is back, but he did get a rest in the Carabao Cup. So I'm hoping he starts against Brentford, and I'm hoping he finally gets some points on the board. Hold for now. Interestingly, for XG, midfielders under 8 million, Conor Gallagher is second and Ismail Assar is first. Golonzo is the man we all want but scared to get right now. I am, of course, talking about Marcus Alonso. Mentioned him on the main pod, but his performance against Spurs was elite, and Ben Chilwell played the full 90 in the Carabao and missed a penalty, only adding to the worry that he isn't mentally quite in the right place. So it's Alonso's shirt to lose, and last night, I think, confirmed that for me. Four shots in the box against Spurs, four chances created. He's first for shots on target out of defenders so far this season, and fourth for chances created, third for expected goal involvement, fourth for BPS. He's got goal, assist and huge clean sheet potential. What are we waiting for? I like the point they made on the FPL Wire this week that if you're going big at the back on a wild card, if you go with Alonso, you pair him with Diaz. TAA is inevitable. I don't think there's any point discussing getting rid of TAA. And if you go with someone like Cancelo, you would pair him with Rudiger. So Alonso, Diaz, Cancelo, Rudiger. You have one risk with a big upside and one steady eddy. I mean, so my preference right now would be to go with Alonso and Diaz, as Diaz is second for BPS out of all defenders. First for BPS out of all defenders is Virgil van Dijk, and he has goal threat. He's had nine shots in the box so far. But I wouldn't want double Liverpool defence when I could have one each from Liverpool, City and Chelsea. Interestingly, Ruben Diaz has created nine chances so far. So has he got assist potential? Probably not, but he might get the odd one. So for now, if I was on a wild card and I was going big at the back, again, lots of questions to ask here, nothing is certain, I would have Alonso, Diaz and Trent. With probably, you know, Livramento and Duffy as nice cheap enablers. Quick differential discussion. I've got two players here that are below 5% ownership. Adam Armstrong, Southampton, only owned by 3%. He sits sixth overall for shots and has 50% goal involvement for Southampton. Now, their fixtures turn in game week 8. They're top of the fixture ticker on the FF Hub from game week 8 to game week 12. Cheap enabler, anyone? Raul Jimenez, 4.9% ownership. Genuine head scratcher. No attacking returns for a player who has had 13 shots in the box and has created a huge 15 chances. And he's created two big chances. Surely the points are coming for Raul Jimenez. I mean, I say that as a new owner, and I pray that the Tony swap will work. But of course, he has work to do. Tony is already 10 points ahead of him since I made that switch. So come on, Raul. Hoping for some points against Southampton this game week. Current wildcard thoughts now. Hope those stats were interesting for you. They certainly were to me, and giving me plenty to think about. My current wildcard thoughts are to play it in game week 8. If I can roll my transfer this week, then I'll have two for game week 7, which I could use on a couple of punts and dead-end my team to then wild card. Just looking at game week 7 fixtures, Burnley play Norwich, which isn't hugely appealing, but Chris Wood, anyone? Big differential there for that game week, maybe even Dwight McNeil. And the FPL meetup, which we're doing on that weekend, game week 7 weekend, would be a lot more fun if I owned Gallagher for that Leicester game, because we're all going to be watching it together. So a couple of punts there for game week 7. I mean, I'm not set on a wild card in game week 8, but it would give me 2 weeks to fully plan and think about it, because obviously there's another annoying international break after game week 7. Another option for wildcard is game week 15, as there's a big fixture swing there too, where United go to the top of the fixture ticker and Chelsea go towards the bottom. But, you know, Chelsea look like they're going to be fixture proof this season. And as we know, holding a wild card can be a brilliant asset to have in FPL. You just don't want to fall too far behind. I think if you think of it like a pit stop in Formula One, it's necessary, but it has to be timed correctly. So those are my current plans. Game week 8 is what I'm considering, but if I can hold it, I will. Great. A couple of Discord questions now. From Sedge. Are Spurs shit? Let me read out the full question. Are Spurs shit? Not sure why. Just feel players are overpriced for a team that don't seem to be clicking yet. Well, Sedge, you're not sure why, so I had a look at the stats. So going forward for Spurs, attacking-wise, they're 19th for shots, and they're bottom of the league for shots in the box behind Norwich. Incredible for a team that has Bergwijn, Moura, Son, Kane, Reguilón, you know, on paper, good attacking assets. Obviously, they've been without Son for a couple of games, but those are quite mad stats. 18th in the league for big chances, 17th for non-penalty XG. They've scored 3 goals in 5 games. Incredibly poor start for them, masked by those 1-0 wins at the start of the season. Are they good defensively? No, they're not much better. They're 18th in the league for shots conceded, 18th for shots in the box conceded, and 17th for expected goals conceded. They're very lucky to have only conceded 6 goals. I would never call a team in the Premier League shit, but Spurs are a huge avoid for now, for me. Son and Kane are clinical, but at their prices, there's better value everywhere in the game at the moment. I'm very glad I avoided their defence after the opening clean sheet. Conceding those goals was inevitable. So yeah, I'm avoiding them for now. I hate to say that because Son always comes back to bite us on the arse when we don't own him. But I think if there's ever a time at the moment to avoid Spurs, it is now. Couple more questions. Connor McBean, top of our mini league at the moment. Should you have a set date for the wild card? I started the season like everyone else, looking at game week 7. As the weeks go on, I find I can just use my transfers to get to where I want and have no real set week for wild card. Yeah, I'd agree, Connor. I don't think you need to set a date for it, but plan when you might pull the trigger and stick to the rule of wanting to get rid of at least 5 players in your team. If there's 5 players there where you think, I want to get rid of all of those, I mean, if there's any more than that, pull that trigger. So like me, I mean, have a vague plan of when you're going to do it. Like, I'm looking at game week 8. Game week 7 isn't really in my thoughts anymore because it looks good for players I already own. I mean, have a think about it. Look at the fixtures and look at it compared to your team. United play Everton. West Ham play Brentford. Leeds play Watford. Wolves play Newcastle. Not bad fixtures, really. So game week 8 will be bit more of a consideration. City play Liverpool in game week 7 as well, so you wouldn't need to bring any of those their players in until game week 8. And then the fixtures turn. So Chelsea, Southampton, City, Leeds, Spurs, Villa and Palace, all their fixtures improve in game week 8, whereas United, West Ham and Brighton all turn bad. At the moment, I've got Luke Shaw, I've got Ronaldo, I've got Benrahma, Soufal, Antonio, and I've got Veltman and Sanchez. That's 7 players whose fixtures are going to turn in game week 8. Therefore, I'm looking at a wild card for then. Ben Carthy. Dean is consistently letting me down, but has nice fixtures and underlying stats. Do I give him one last chance, or is it time to shift him on? And if so, to who? I have 5.8 to spend if I sell him, so Golonzo is staring at me. Yep, I think you're right, Ben Carthy. I'd keep him for the Norwich fixture this game week, and then I would move him on, and Golonzo would be my choice. Great, transfers and captains now. As I said, I'm hoping to roll my transfer. If Rafinha is injured, then I'm going to bring Ismaila Sarr in, most likely. If Alexander-Arnold is still ill, I will most likely hold him and play Veltman or Livramento. Rafinha being injured will probably push me towards, even more towards a game week 8 wild card, as I'll likely want him back for Leeds' fixture run. But attackers only, because they're poor defensively. Captain, I spoke a lot about the temptation to captain Antonio, but I think I will put it on Ronaldo, as I trust him more at home than I do Antonio and Salah away. But they're both really, really good options. I just think stick with Ronaldo at the moment. Stats, eye test, and the fixture at home backs all of that up. Interestingly, with TAA, I think he'll probably be back. But if he's not, That's two game weeks we're going to have missing out on points from a 7.5 million defender. If you are planning on wildcarding in game week 8, bear in mind that Liverpool play City in game week 7. So if you're not going to lose money on Trent, then is it worth, if he is still injured, is it worth taking him out for game week 6 because he's not going to get any points? Let me look. So he's 7.6 at the moment. So if you had him at the start of the season like me, you're losing out on 0.1 value. Is it worth getting rid of him for game week 6, putting someone in for a 2-week punt? You know, maybe you go early to Alonso, although they play City this week, but then they've got Southampton, or, you know, a Ruben Diaz, or, you know, not the best fixtures, but someone like that. Do you move him out and then just to bring him back in on the wild card? It makes a lot of sense if you are planning on wild carding in game week 8, but what it does do, it kind of hamstrings you to definitely play it in game week 8, because you'd move Trent out for this week, then you'd happily leave him out of the team for that City fixture in game week 7, then you're going to be wanting to bring him back in game week 8. It's food for thought. If you're looking at your team and you're thinking, I'm definitely going to wild card game week 8, I can't stand this team, I can't wait to change it, that will be worth considering. However, I do think Trent will be back. Just wait for press conferences on those yellow flags. Bielsa's press conference is going to be really important to a lot of people this game week, as is Jurgen Klopp's for Trent news. That about covers it, my friends. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please give me a... Can you even give a like? Subscribe and give us a rating if you can on Apple Podcasts. That would be really good. That would really help us and me to keep these going. Give us a review on there as well, and give us a follow and keep interacting. Join our Discord, the links on our Twitter, and good luck everybody for game week 6.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for businesses. We can help with the whole production process, from idea development through to podcast distribution to all the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.